Hey, Cam, mind sending me over our new Wi-Fi password?
Oh, sorry, Mitch, you can't be trusted.
What?
It's your phone. It's different than mine.
Cam! And I thought I was a judgy one.
No, it's just messages between different devices aren't encrypted.
Okay. Since when do you know about encryption?
I know what encryption is, and it's because I'm the last line of defense against any would-be Wi-Fi thieves.
Cam, come on.
Okay, fine. I'll send it somewhere more private.
Thank you.
Safely send messages between different devices. On WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they asked me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics, you know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Okay, so here's a question that I have for the two of you. It's going to be completely different. Now, one of the things that I saw was how we were terrible about communicating about this pandemic. We're terrible at it. In the sense, like, there was a misinformation virus and there was the actual virus that was happening. And we were like WhatsApp forward uncles, all of us, right? So that was happening, right? Now, what I'm trying to understand is, suppose, Saurabh, your agency, and suppose Harmony, you as an independent communication agent who understands semiotics and the rest of it, if you had to use hindsight just to do better communication about the coronavirus, what would you have done? What would you have done differently? I think Modi did, by the way, Modi did his bit and all of that, and it was interesting, I would say. What would you do better?
No, I think if you really look at, you know, what he did, yeah, he didn't really speak the fundamentals around what needed to be done. I mean, when you really look at Trump and, you know, you know for whatever it is worth, you give him the fact that he shows up every day with something. Right, some news or the other around the virus. Right, so I think the problem is that, you know, when you don't have an organizing authority who can shed light on what really is happening, right, and your entire narrative becomes about, you know, let's assume to create a sense of positivity and optimism in society, then you know you leave so much room for interpretation and you know gimmickry, right?
Yeah.
And I think if you ask me, you know, what I would have done was very quickly codify, you know, a persona who would be the dominant persona for spreading all news very early in the cycle. And it could be Modi, it could be somebody else, right? But that daily update on what really needs to happen, right, has never happened through a formal channel. And I think that's part of the problem. And when that formal channel does not exist, guess what? A lot of the informal channels come into play. Right. And some of those informal channels will then, you know, become or WhatsApp activists, so on and so forth. And that's what's really played out. So if you ask me, you know, what would I have done differently? The one thing I would have actually, you know, Arogya Setu, where you've created an app. But where is information? Right. Where is the one single piece of information around what really is happening. I don't know whether you've seen all these med reports which come out in different states. And, you know, again, there is an absolute lack of consistency, right, in terms of what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to manage, right? So many different, you know, pieces of information. But there is no one central place where you can go to see what's happening, right?
Okay.
So I think, you know, that the only way to replace, you know, I would say cacophony is to create a sense of it all. Okay. In a much more organized and qualified manner, sure. right? And if you don't do that, then you know, leave enough news room for noise, right?
Yeah, okay. All right, so but do you think it was an execution problem, before I get to harmony, do you think it was an execution problem because of the state and the centers being at loggerheads with each other, or do you think it was just terribly thought through strategy?
No, I think it's a problem of imagination and creativity.
Yeah, right? Okay.
So the creativity is directed towards, you know, I need to just unite everybody and that's where it ends. But I think it needs, but creativity needs to be in the execution. Creativity needs to be in the detailing, right? And that's where the magic happens. You know, I keep saying that I wouldn't give a fig to this side of simplicity, in a beautiful quote, but I would give my life to simplicity, the other side of complexity, right? So what you needed was simplicity at the other side of complexity, and that has really not happened, right?
Yeah. Okay, all right. Harmony, okay. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, man, you know, Saurabh, you're clearly a really good person, yeah. Because also, it strikes me that like you're giving a lot of the benefit of doubt to what has been the strategy, for better or worse, of communicating, of the nation communicating to its citizens in and through, you know, something that most of us haven't the foggiest idea, because this is the first time we're all living through it. Now, Sid, before I kind of get to answering what I might have done differently and so on and so forth,
sure.
I would argue, pressed to do so, that this is precisely the point of any kind of authoritarian regime, that you will not tolerate the kind of thing that Saurabh was talking about with a central node or somebody that I can turn to for just legitimate everyday updates and information about, you know, what the actual state of the nation is. I'll give you an example about why I'm saying this. In Gujarat, and I've been in lockdown, I've been stuck here since March, and I've been following this every single day. We had in the city of Ahmedabad a very, very, how shall I put this, enthusiastic AMC head called Vijay Nehra. And under him, there was a lot that kind of went down in terms of testing being amply ramped up, in terms of, he was doing a lot of stuff. He was quickly shunted out and posted to Ahmedabad Rural. And it was informal chat in Gandhinagar, etc. Has it that they thought that he was becoming a bit of an authority unto himself. So. There is a health secretary here called Jayanti Ravi, who was supposed to be our one point of contact, who was giving us daily updates. Pretty soon, they realized that they didn't want any one person getting this much of contact time. They didn't want us to be able to have, again, I don't want to cast aspersions, because these are things that one hears from, you know, different kinds of channels, and political gossip is just that. It's just political gossip. But the idea in Ahmedabad, at least, was that they were uncomfortable with people who were propping themselves up as singular authorities. And in any kind of centralized, what I will not hesitate from calling authoritarian regime, you don't want people to stick out, because you want there to be just that one kind of ring that rules them all and, you know, in the darkness binds them. And if you have anybody else who actually comes up at the local level, at a state level, as an alternative, which is a genuine voice that you think you can turn to, especially in, you know, a time like this, which is fraught with so much dissonance anyway, I don't think that sits comfortably with any kind of authoritarian regime.
Okay, but given that we are where we are, what do you do?
Yeah. What I would have, now I'm getting to that. What would I do differently? I would actually prop up central, I mean, tiny local nodes, just little immediate things that I can turn to. If I'm in Ahmedabad, I want the AMC to have a fucking bulletin. Sorry, but to have a bulletin that goes out every day, you know, that kind of tells me about the cases in the city. I want to know about micro containment zones. I want to know about stuff like this. And I have to say the AMC has been pretty proactive about it. But I think the answer is not in centralizing. I think the answer is in localizing, because this is far too big. Remember, we started by saying 1.34 billion people, man. That's 20% of the Earth's population. You're not going to be able to give us, and you maybe as a center, you may be able to give me a broad picture view of the state of the nation. But ultimately, in times of a pandemic and a lockdown, what I give much more of a fuck about is my immediate surroundings. I need to know what's happening here, just like you need to know what's happening in Pune, or you know, somebody else needs to know what's happening in Ghaba. Yeah, in even within that, just honestly decentralizing. I would have actually gone the other way and aided the decentralizing of these messages and made it so that I had authoritative versions of what's actually going down. Maybe the you know, that they have these AMA, the medical association task forces, right? For different cities and so on and so forth. Maybe one of them is my point person instead of a politician. I would feel so much better about a medical practitioner being that point of contact for me, and not an ICMR head who has, you know, like hundreds of districts to look at. I want someone who knows about me. I want somebody around me. I might have gone down that route. And I understand that it is possible to, you know, at some point collate that at a state level. And every state is then reporting to us. We're a union of many, many different imaginations, of several different polities, of several different states.
Sure.
At what point does this federal structure actually begin to make sense? When the states are speaking to the center, when the center is speaking to the states, when there is none of this bullshit about, you know, the what had me and why I get really worked up about this is because everybody kept passing the blame when it came to organizing the fares for the Shramik trains, for the specials, for the tens of thousands of people who suddenly, and the states are saying, no, those guys, the railway authority is going to bear the cost of it. That the railway authority is saying, no, the state is meant to pay us 80% of this fare. Like, there was just nothing. We knew nothing. And as a civil society that is in lockdown, most of us can't go places and do shit. Who do I turn to? I was having an interesting chat with somebody the other day who just said, wouldn't it be great if we could have worked out some kind of a digital platform where those of us who can maybe, you know, sponsor the fares of, like, I don't know, I'll pay for 1,000 people train tickets to go back home, etc. And then we realized, but sala, uske liye no, it would be useful if the district spoke to the state, which spoke to the center, because ye hamare bus mein hai hi nahin. And honestly, I don't know if I've ever felt more powerless as a citizen. And now I'm speaking as a citizen, not just as anything else. But that is what happens when you centralize things to the point where all kinds of local agency is just devolved. So I'll stop.
Yes. It's interesting, though. Thanks for the rant. I love your rants, by the way. They're quite refreshing. And I learned a lot. So the fact is that I'm actually seeing a parallel between, I don't think what this pandemic is showing to me is that as human beings, we really struggle with communication because of systemic issues. And I was just wondering, you know, whether even brands have understood it, or whether agencies have understood it, or countries have understood it. I think we're all bloody struggling. Yeah. And it's not just India that's struggling. I think a lot of countries are struggling, to be honest. Now, I've begun to get a lot of questions for the two of you on my WhatsApp based on this bullshit that we're talking about. So first is to Saurabh. All the brands have talked about stuff like togetherness. How do you think that, you know, something like this, it can change the course in coming days? Do you think it's relevant enough, or do you think it's, you know... Okay, so basically, how does a brand stop being hokey? I'm just translating, right?
What? Do something significant, right? I mean, that's what we call acts. I mean, an empty message has no meaning. I mean, you know, like, you know... I don't know, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, you have to just see, does it really make a significant difference in the lives of human beings? And if it doesn't, it's just, you know, it's just noise, you know, and, you know, that's what it is. And there is so much you can do in today's day and age to really make a difference on the ground, right?
Right. But what would you advise a client? Please don't do this. Please do something else. What would you really advise a client? I'm just going to, you know, as somebody who's like, and you're in a vulnerable situation. You're a startup, so you want to make your mark. Your clients have certain fixed ideas because of the way in which they're actually, you know, understanding communication. You're in an unenviable situation wherein you have to deal with this shit, right?
No, I you know, honestly said, I think there is so much to do. Right, from whether you're a startup or an established player, there is just so much you can do in today's day and age. And I'm talking about fundamentally, you know, I mean, you know, when you really see, you know, how communication works, right? Mm-hmm. It works when it's real, when it's really truly honest, and it does something good for people, right? Mm-hmm. Empty messages have no meaning. I'm saying for you to say, listen, I want people to come together, right? To you know. Separate to come together. I don't know what it means. You know, I mean, it's just bullshit, right? I mean, right. We've had spatial separation forever. You know, it existed in the urinals in the men's loo, right?
Correct.
So, yeah. So I'm sorry, but you know,
no, fine.
So I mean, take a category. I mean, today, if you were, you know, you are an insurance company, right? Yeah. Why would you not take care of the so many different people who are surrounded by you? Right,
yeah.
You could create today a make, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, as an insurance company, you might say, hey, listen, you know, why don't I, you know, create today a job insurance product, which does not exist in India, by the way, right?
Sure.
And, you know, that to me is what I would do as a startup, which is to go and tell my clients, listen, here is an idea and how you might want to, you know, create this. Now go down to the IRDA and actually create a product like that. And then I would create communication around it for me to have. So, you know, just create noise and say, listen, you know, come together, right? These times, come together to do what? You know,
well, you can't do many things. But anyways, so look, okay. So let's bring this back to a slightly broader, beyond political analysis and commentary thing. Let's bring this back to a slightly broader question. I want to ask both of you this question, and I'll start with Harmony. Listen, Harmony. You have had a time wherein you've said, oh, damn, what an insight. Yeah, what an insight from a communications perspective. Okay, now that may have happened. Has it happened to you during this strange time that we're living in? Because it is one of the strangest times. So the fact that you haven't had an insight is also an insight, right? So, and I'd like to ask sort of the same question. Like, go on.
Sid. I'm sorry, I'm just munching away happily during this. I've started doing that, by the way. Like, I think I'm going to continue eating in classrooms now. The work from home situation is just treating me really well. So, two things. One, I don't think an insight is something that you stumble upon. I think an insight is something that you construct. I think that therefore, to go back to what I started with saying, I don't want to put undue pressure on myself and say abhi no, isko understand abhi isme se kuch dhoond and kuch nikal and kuch bana. I don't have all the pictures in front of me yet. I don't have all the pieces yet. And perhaps it's not an insight at all. It's just a half-baked idea, but something that has been weighing on my mind quite heavily, and it's something that I think is going to stay with me for some time. It's just this, that it's okay. It's okay to not know. It's okay to not have a glib analysis to offer up, you know, the moment that somebody asks. And just admit, as I started by saying, with a lot of humility, ke bhai, ye meri bas ki baat nahi hai. And I don't think kisi ki bas ki baat hai, abhi ke abhi. I can't give you anything definitive right now. I can see the beginnings of a lot of little things, but it would foolhardy of me to presume that I can understand them.
One example.
Like, I've got my eye which you think is a shoe.
It's a green shoe, yeah. but I want to know.
So I'll give you a space that I've been observing really closely.
Sure. Okay?
Which is that I came across a report just a few days ago by a very interesting economist who basically said that up to 30%. 30% of people who have managed to make their way back into so-called rural, you know, India, back to their homes, etc., are very clear that they do not want to return to urban scapes and to cities. Up to 30% of them at the moment are saying that they don't want to come back. Now, you and I know that there is nothing in the village imagination as it stands today that is going to be there for them to do. They wouldn't have left in the first place otherwise. Okay, so I think that a place to look at and think about is the how can we reimagine these categories of rural and urban? What is the rural going to become when somebody who is soaked in the ethos of the so-called urban has gone back to it? There were always circularities. But I feel like if people are making that shift back and that's where they're headed, I'm really curious to see the shape of things that's going to come. And what that, what's going to happen in these places now? And I'm now thinking about the walk and I'm thinking about the things that I saw all through Gujarat, the month that meant. And I'm wondering what that changes now when people will have come back there. Right. And I'm wondering what that will do to the nature of those places. So that's something I'm keeping my eyes on. I don't have anything more than that to offer you.
Okay. Saurabh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, my background said, you know, I mean, you to run strategy for Bunnett across 16 countries and then, you know, Leo Bunnett and then, you know, across all my creative agencies, Saatchi, Publicis, Leo Bunnett, we banned the word insight, right? You know, the word insight is a tyranny, right? Because, you know, often facts, observations are couched as insights. I mean, it's, insight is something which is retrospectively self-evident, right? And, it, you know, I think it just puts undue pressure on the problem that you're trying to solve. I mean, I think as communication specialists, my biggest endeavor with the teams have always been to become more a problem hunter rather than a solution provider. Because if I can find, if I can actually define a big problem, the solution will exist in the problem definition, right? So I think if you really look at it, you just can see so many problems which exist today, right? And then you take the problem, you combine it with a category, and you have something very interesting to play with, right? So I'm thinking, let's assume you're an Ola and Uber today. I mean, your big problem is, you know, of hygiene. And when I come back, right, even when I get a chance to open up, people are not going to be clear about whether I'm hygienic. How do I know that the driver who's driving me does not have COVID, right? How do you solve that as an equation, right? No, that's a problem definition. Now, you know, I mean, the moment you start defining the problem, I mean, all of us are at home and guess what? We are not feeling like winners, right? At the moment, right? All of us sitting at home. Now, that's a very problem, right? What do you do with that? So I'm thinking, you know, there are hundreds of things around us. And I think the question becomes, what can you do to solve for the problem? And is it really relevant? Is the problem relevant to your category, right? So, I mean, that's how I have seen...
So, what I'm understanding from you, sorry, but it's a really interesting point. What you're saying is that there's no such thing as an insight. It's just reverse logic back on something that you've seen and kind of, you know, that's...
I'm not saying that. I never said that platforms are not powerful, right? I just said that, you know, our belief that the top 100 people will actually make a difference by having a perspective on Twitter. To me, the platforms are very powerful. I mean, you know, when you see a WhatsApp and you see 500 million people on WhatsApp, it's very powerful, right?
Correct.
Similarly, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just saying when you start chasing an insight.
Got it.
When you start chasing an insight, guess what? You don't get to one. Right? That's the problem, right? So I'm not saying that insight is not relevant. What I'm saying is that you can't start by saying, so none of my creative briefs in the last, you know, 10 years has the word insight in it. None.
Wonderful.
Right? Yeah. We removed it completely because the word insight is actually tyranny. It's just an absolute waste of a chase. It's actually sometimes cleverly constructed words for it to make, you know, I keep saying, you know, there are three kinds of strategists. There is the simple to simple, which means you start with bullshit and you end with bullshit. Nothing happens, right? There was, you know, what I call the Indian school of planning, which was a complex to the complex. You start with a complexity and you pivot at something which is so complex, right? That, you know, you take almost joy in the fact that your creative partner can't understand what you're saying. And then there is the third, which is where the magic is, where you start with the complexity and you leave it at the simplicity where the magic starts to happen. You know, you do all your diagnosis, figure out what fundamentally is the problem you're trying to resolve. Right, try and hunt for a big problem, and guess what? You'll actually have a very interesting space to play with. Right? I mean, we can speak about it. This is, you know, a long conversation, and we can have you know, hundreds of examples around, you know, finding the big problem.
Why don't you give me one example? Give me one example. Yeah.
So, you know, for example, you know, we had a very big brand called Hewlett Packard. Right.
Yeah.
which came to us and said, listen, I want to do exactly what we do right now, which is greenwashing, right? I have this $50,000 and, you know, I want to do a greenwashing campaign. Can you do something in my office? Right?
Okay.
And we said, you know, what do you have to do with something to do with office? You know, you are, a computer brand. You make, laptops, right? Yeah. So what's the problem you're going to solve for, right?
Yeah.
And guess what? I mean, their big problem is actually a very interesting problem. 7 out of 10 people don't switch off computers when they leave home, right? Mm-hmm. They shut their laptops and they go, right? The mm-hmm. environmental impact of that is massive, mm-hmm. right? Now you have, you know, let's say 1.5 billion laptops or computers on the planet, and 700 million of them don't get switched off on a daily basis. That's the problem to solve. So can I get people to help each other, you know, switch off the laptop before they leave, right?
Yeah.
For me, the definition of the problem is where the magic is in. Once I've defined the problem, the solution is inherent in the problem.
Correct. You don't have to think beyond. The solution is embedded in the problem, is what you're saying.
And I mean, we can talk about hundreds of examples like this. And my sense is, find the big problem. If you find the big problem, you will find the big solution.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I just want to add. I just want to add to that. Love it. Love everything that you've just said. And part of the way in which you're able to see the big problem to start with is if you're able to have plural perspectives on where you are, the society we inhabit, the cultural groups that, you know, have their very, very definite kind of ways of making sense of the world around them. And until all of that is obvious to you, you're not going to be able to arrive at what Saurabh was calling, you know, the big problem. And asking those questions and just asking better questions every single time, that's kind of at the heart of any of this. And I love it. I love it. Because even with any of the courses that we have, you know, that we have in our area, at least, we start by explaining that our starting point is ask more interesting questions. Honestly, the rest of it will follow or not. I'm not saying it always does, but if you ask a good enough question, that is much, much more kind of useful, really, than proposing any old garbage.
We are reaching the end, so I had promised to googly to both of you. So here's the googly, right? So we have a problem in academia, not connected to industry really well, right? So if I had to kind of state that as an interesting problem, what would your solution be to Harmony if she asked you that question? And Harmony, if I have to say that, okay, you think that agencies are being really, really straight-jacketed in the way in which they're approaching communication and the rest of it, what's the one thing that you would advise a business leader like Saurabh that, hey, you're just not seeing this, okay? Not him specifically or not him, you know? Yeah. So what would that be? So anybody, any one of us, so you've got to, I just want you to just exchange this and you know, go to the other side.
To me, the solution is inherent in the problem. Who owns the academia, right? So I'm saying if you basically today say, you know, 0.5% of Mica is owned by Asian Paints and 0.5% by Microsoft and 0.5% by somebody else, guess what? You would solve the problem, right? I'm just saying, you know, maybe the whole, if you're saying the problem is there is no connect, then create the connect, right? I mean, it's not difficult today. I mean, the amount of the huge, big budget CSR budgets that everybody's sitting on, why are they not coming your way, right? They should be going to academia.
Right. So what I'm understanding from you is get academia to be connected to industry by actually getting industry to invest in academia.
You know, what does industry want? Industry want ownership, control, right? And a clever use of their own capital, right? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, you move the capital towards where it's needed to be, where it needs to go, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I know many people would have a very Puritan perspective to...
100%.
Right? If you really solve the problem, then solve the problem.
No,
right?
That's true. No, well taken. Point taken. It was your 6 to hit, so you...
This is my, you know, 5-second answer to you.
Okay. You don't have, we don't have too many 5-second answers, right? On this one. Yeah, okay. How many?
The opposite of what sort of thing.
And never the same
thing. Okay. No, simply because, look, I've always been of the opinion that I think it's great that as Mica, we learn so much from, you know, partnering with so many of you that have, you know, kind of gone out of here and done so much in the industry and so on and so forth. But if you tell me that we exist only to provide solutions to industry, then I'm sorry, man. Like, I have to remind everybody that we're an institution of higher learning. We're not a finishing school for 2 years where people will come and then be placed somewhere on the other side of it. We are an institute of higher learning that is engaged in a master's level program. And I'm afraid academic rigor is something that is sometimes at odds with, if we were trying to design exclusively, 8 seconds. If we're trying to design exclusively for industry once, more often than not, you're not going to have the kind of attention to society, to planet, to other things that ought to be informing these discussions. All of that's going to go out the window. I don't think the answer is more industry part. Like, I definitely don't think a stake for the industry in the institution would be my choice or my answer to this. What I would definitely be very comfortable with and advocate is that I think it ought to go both ways. I think that we ought to have more people from the industry actually come in and kind of go through stuff on campus, engage with campus in its multiple capacities. And similarly, I think that it would be lovely if we could get out there and see what it is that you guys actually do, you know, in this big bad kind of corporate space that we keep talking about. I think it would be lovely to bring them closer, but I think it needs to be a two-way street.
How many you didn't answer your own question, yeah? You started arguing with him.
What, yeah? What, Ali? What? I didn't answer my own question. Tell me what I didn't answer.
Your question was, what would you advise him for communication agencies?
Oh, sorry. Well, then, okay. Part of the answer would be, like, I think it would be really cool if we... Because I think we've got loads to learn from each other, but I don't think that it needs to be the one dictating the terms to the other. Because there's a heck of a lot that's going on.
I don't think he said that, but okay.
No, I know he didn't. I'm just, at this point, he didn't say that at all. I wasn't implying that he did. I'm just saying that academia, I think we would profit, all of us would profit from remembering that even business, no matter what you're talking about, management, say, leke, sab kuch, these are social sciences. What are we talking about? We're talking about people. Shorn of that context, nothing that you do will make sense. So just the same way that we constantly talk about, you know, theory and praxis as if they were two different things, I'm saying that you have no praxis without theory, and the theory does not make sense without praxis, which is why industry and academia, we need to speak to each other more. But that's, we definitely can't be just the one kind of, you know, dictating terms.
No, that's why, yeah? Yogi Berra rocks, man. He says in theory and practice, you know, in theory, practice is different, etc. Something like that, no? Some bullshit like that. In practice,
I'm saying that whoever that is wrong. Okay.
See, Harmony, I promised you that by the end of this hour, we are going to end up fighting. and we're close.
But this isn't fighting. This is fun. I enjoy this. This is you and me walking around campus. It is what it is.
100%. Well, guys, 6:01, so we've already gone past a minute. Thank you so much, audience, for listening to us just bullshit our way through this hour. Thank you, Saurav. But honestly, thank you so much. If I've goaded you into any wrongdoings or wrong conversations, or my fault, okay, I apologize to both of you.
But everything.
It was, exactly. Thank you. Both of you, it was a lot of fun, and I think a part two is required at some point in time. Thank you, Saurav. All the very best to you, and Harmony, I hope to see you on campus soon. Yeah. All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh, and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.